Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Now, back to Whiteley.
What a performance from Charles Leclerc. Magic in qualifying. A dominant drive. Fastest lap. 25 world championship points. The man from Monaco. Magic in Melbourne. Charles Leclerc wins the Australian Grand Prix for Ferrari. The Scuderia is back on top in Formula One. And they're doing it in dominant style.
Richard Crail there calling the final stages of last year's Formula One Grand Prix for Channel 10. He will do that again. Our interviews throughout the week around the GP are for Ozito Tools, powering DIYers all day, every day. Richard Crail, it's great to have you on the program.
Good morning, Jared. How are you?
I'm well. What's your sense of anticipation and excitement as you head to the airport about to fly into Melbourne for the F1 Grand Prix?
It's one of the great days. It's one of the great days. I love heading to Melbourne for the Grand Prix. Now, I am, hand on heart, an Adelaidean, and it took a while to get over losing this race, Jared, but now it is just the perfect place for it. It's a city that embraces it. It's a city that the scale and scope of Formula One is perfectly suited for, and what this event has evolved into becoming is extraordinary, and the fact that it's now going 26 years and stronger than ever, you have to say, is just a massive testament to Andy Westacott and his team that put this together every year. So I'm excited. Can't wait to get there. There's so many stories and things to get through this weekend that's going to make it another captivating weekend of sport.
In the suite of motorsport events that you attend and that you broadcast across a year, is this the pinnacle? Where do you sit it?
I think by its very nature, being a Formula One race, it is. And whether you're a racing car driver, whether you're a caller, whether you work in PR, or whether you're one of the many thousands of volunteers who fly the flags for free every weekend in the cold and rain, usually making sure the drivers are safe, you want to be at a Grand Prix. It's the pinnacle of the sport across all levels. So to have the opportunity to play in that field, even if it's only once a year, is really special. And as someone who was a Formula One fan before they were a fan of supercars and local motorsport, it's really cool to be part of that and to have that opportunity just to go and poke your head in these garages and see these people and how the high end of town operates.
There's a really clear resurgence that you can mark through ticket sales. You can see it in the spectacular that is created around it. It went through a few years where it felt like it was in decline, and now it's probably roared to record levels. And that's not just a Melbourne phenomenon, I take it. What's your read on where it has soared to right now?
It's at another level. I'm not sure it's ever been as big. It's always been a global sport, but for a long time it was quite backwards in the way it operated and was very old school, which in many ways was quite endearing, but it got to a point where the overlap between operating old school and needing to keep up to the times sort of tilted firmly in the favour of it needed an overhaul. And when Bernie Eccleston, who had run the sport with an iron fist for 3 or 4 decades, finally let go and the American media group Liberty Media came in and bought the sport, they just injected a huge amount of life into it. They embraced the social media and they began that storytelling. And you know better than anyone, Jared, that sport's about stories. The competition's one thing, but it's the story and the narrative behind it that makes it so compelling. It's the reason we go to the footy and watch the games every week, why we watch a test match and things like that. So what they've done is the storytelling. And part of that came through the Netflix program, through Drive to Survive, which has been so unbelievably popular. And that's just brought a whole new group of people into Formula One that didn't perhaps understand these stories. So you get the bite-sized chunk on the streaming service, and if you get 50% of those people sit down and watch a Grand Prix on a Sunday night here in Australia, then that's an enormous boost to your audience. And it's just built these personalities up, and we now know about Max Verstappen and Oscar Piastri and Daniel Ricciardo more than we ever have. So I think that's part of the reason why this thing's gone so crazy.
How tight is the grip of Red Bull right now on the competition side of it?
Yeah, they're as good as any team has been in the last decade of the sport. And we lived through those 7 years where Lewis Hamilton swept all before him. He won every race. He dominated the sport. 7 world championships. The list goes on. One in there for Nico Rosberg for good measure. They're at that level. But what I think is the redeeming factor is not the right word, but the asterisk near it is that the sport is very different now in terms of the competition and the way it's managed than it was even 5 years ago. So there's a lot more equivalency in it, and the sport is designed by its regulations that the more you succeed, the less opportunity you've got to continue that domination, and there's more given to the lower teams. It's a bit like the draft in a way where the lower teams can catch up. They've got more money, they've got more resource, they can spend more time developing their car than the team that's winning. So will we enter into a prolonged period of domination? I don't think so, but they are a race team that's efficient. They've got a really good car. They've got 2 great drivers, and they're operating at a very high level. The only question mark I'd put on that, Jared, is that there's some needle between their drivers.
Yes.
And Sergio Perez beat Max Verstappen last time out in Saudi Arabia, and it's caused some tension, and there's been some stuff bubbling over from last year as well. And Red Bull's track record of managing 2 great drivers is not spectacular. And Aussie fans will remember that well with Mark Webber versus Sebastian Vettel a decade ago, where they ultimately came to blows towards the end of their relationship. So that's probably the only question mark over this domination from Red Bull is, can they manage the friendly fire between their teammates?
Yeah, and that's had a long history of intrigue. You're quite right. What's the lot of Lewis Hamilton right now? So it's something to see a long-term champion who's just a bit of a battler for the moment.
Yeah, and it does show that you could be the best driver in the world, but if you don't have the machinery, you're not going to win races. And right now, Mercedes don't have the machinery to compete with Red Bull, and Lewis is now in the longest losing streak of his career, which is remarkable because he's won more Grand Prix than any other driver in the history of the sport, including the great Michael Schumacher. So, yeah, it's a strange scenario. The other thing that Lewis has got to deal with is a mighty teammate in the form of George Russell, who for the last 2 years has been, if not consistently quicker, has been more than a match. And that's not something that Lewis has had to deal with a lot in his career. So that's a huge challenge for him. Watching the rebound for that team is going to be spectacular. They are the most successful race team of the last decade. I cannot see them staying down for long, and they will throw everything they can at this car to try and develop it and bring it forward. And when you've got someone like Lewis Hamilton steering the ship, you know you've got the organic component right. It's up to the brains behind the scenes to give him the machinery to do the job.
Australia has involvement. It's the changing face. So Oscar Piastri is a name that we know well. I feel like this week serves a big purpose in introducing him to the mainstream Australian sporting public.
It's remarkable. This is his first car race on Australian soil.
Right.
Full stop. He's actually never raced a car. His last race in Australia was something like 8 years ago at the Oakley Kart Club in go-karting. So yet to race a racing car on Australian soil. And that's pretty remarkable when you're given that he is now in the very pinnacle of the sport. But yeah, it's really exciting. Formula One, as you know, Jared, is a generational game. And this weekend I'm lucky to work with Damon Hill, who was the first son of a former world champion to win a world championship again. Formula One, and Oscar is an example of why it's such a generational game. When Fernando Alonso, who's on the grid this year in his 40s and still as fast and fiery as ever, when he made his Australian Grand Prix debut in 2001 for Minardi, which had just been bought by Paul Stoddart at the time, Oscar Piastri hadn't been born. So he was born 33 days after Fernando Alonso made his debut, and they'll start together this weekend. It is a kind of coming out weekend for Oscar to show what he's capable of to the Aussie public. Hasn't been a great start to McLaren's season. They're another team searching for some results, but Oscar will endear himself. He already has, but when the Aussie fans get to see him in person, I think they're going to they're going to revel in him. He's a great personality. He's a character, very engaging, great with the fans. But best of all, he's a very, very good racing car driver. And I hope we get to see some of that talent if he's given the right car this weekend.
And Richard, give us an insight into your job. So what are the demands and the disciplines of calling an F1 race?
It's I love the challenge, and as a Formula One fan, I religiously sit up every Sunday night and watch the Grand Prix throughout the course of the year. So you follow and build up that knowledge, and with a passion for the sport, you naturally take close notice in what's going on. But it is a challenge to come in for that one event of a year and not completely and utterly drown yourself in all the minutiae that happens in Formula One. And it's such a complex sport. There's so many moving pieces in it. It's about finding that balance, I think, for mine, in telling all the stories that need to be told. So telling the Oscar Piastri story or the Max Verstappen versus Sergio Perez story, but at the same time, trying to convey to an Australian audience that only gets Formula One once a year and usually has to watch it at a pretty rough time slot, late in the night or early in the morning Sunday. It's about conveying that excitement and the level of what we're witnessing, that this is the absolute pinnacle of world motorsport. These are 20 of the best drivers in the world with the best resourced teams and incredible technology. So for mine, it's about trying to convey some of that and some of the grandeur and the special nature of Formula One. And that's what I get out of this weekend, and just try and enjoy it. And I feel like if I'm enjoying it, then hopefully the audience watching along will be too.
Well, we look forward to sharing it with you, Richard. The very best of luck with the call. It's great to catch up. Enjoy what's about to unfold.
Thanks, Jared. Always a pleasure.
Richard Crail, the coverage of the Formula One Rolex Australian Grand Prix gets underway on Friday, live and free on Network 10, and Ozito, powered by Einhell, German-designed quality driving power and performance. For DIYers, all day, every day, our Grand Prix coverage as this week unfolds. If everything goes to plan, fingers crossed, Sir Jackie Stewart is going to join me on tomorrow's program. So a bit of a treat in the week of the Formula One Grand Prix in Australia.